And welcome again to the DC Sports Huddle. I am Rob Woodfork, the best damn low-cost, high-impact free agent since Ryan Clark, alongside Commanders beat reporter George Wallace, the pricey free agent hometown signing like a Kendall Fuller, and Dave Preston, who's joking a little bit at the fact that he's the Zach Ertz signing that predates the official start of free agency. And that's exactly where we start, is free agency.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, the NFL's free agency legal tampering period begins on Monday. The new league year officially begins Wednesday. And so, you know, Washington is thought to be a big player. They have the most cap space in the league. I'm going to start us off with this. Just because you have the money doesn't mean that you should spend the money.
Hold on. You mean you can't see they shouldn't spend every available dollar just to clear the books?
No, and there's a minimum cap that you have to meet,
right?
And I'm pretty sure that they can do that pretty easily. But I think what you see is you're not going to see the 2000 team that went and bought up the top five names on the free agent market. I don't think that happens this year. I think you see one or two lucrative outside signings. I think that you're going to see a lot of the available cap space go to guys that are already on the roster, guys like a Kendall Fuller, you know, maybe Jonathan Allen. You do a restructuring so that his deal is front-loaded to be in this cap and the next cap. And
if you don't trade him.
Yeah, right. If you don't trade him. So with that in mind, I don't think they go crazy in free agency, but – George Wallace, what do you think they do in the free agent market?
I agree with you. I don't think that that they'll go crazy. And you heard Adam Peters say that they want to build through the draft. This is not a, you know, where is Redskins one airline, the jet. Remember the Dan Snyder's jet
all over the place.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't think
they
this is one of those situations. Yeah. I do think they'll fill some needs. I think you see some players being released around the league that could help fill them, especially on the defensive side. But I don't think they're going to go crazy either. I think that they have a lot of other things that they want to focus on than the big splashy free agent signing. The interesting one's going to be Cam Curl. When they didn't tag him, he posted on Twitter that you know, two fingers like, peace, I'm out of here kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that means he is going to explore free agency or they get a deal done.
I don't know that he's a guy that you prioritize.
I wouldn't throw a lot of money at him. No, I wouldn't.
Because he's a good player. He's a versatile player, but he's not an impact player.
And he may find
you don't want to pay him like one.
No, and he may find if he goes out and explores that he's not worth that on the open market.
Right.
And come back. Who knows?
Right.
But I agree with you. I don't think they're going to go crazy. And Josh Harris talked about how hard it was to come up with the money to spend to buy this team, $6 billion. He's got 19 investors, and they have a lot of other things they have to spend money on. And it's not going to be an instant fix. We know that. So I don't think they're going to go out and waste all of Dave Preston's money on that.
How many cushions do you pull out to say, okay, there's 20
how much,
cents here,
how much change
bucks.
In there?
The underrated portion, though, is that they have salary cap rollover. If you have a bunch of salary cap space left over this year, that can get pushed into next year.
Yes.
If there's, and we don't know exactly what the landscape is going to be for agency-wise next year, but I mean, that's money that you can push into the future.
I would like to see them address, and I'm not saying go out and get the highest ticket player at these positions, but I would like to see them bring in some offensive linemen or one offensive lineman at least, and then maybe bring in a quality linebacker, a guy who has started elsewhere who can play well with this team, who is young enough that if you bring him in, you might explore the possibility a few years from now of giving him a second contract. But somebody who's not going to break your bank by bringing him in, and 2 years down the road, you're like, oh gosh, why did we sign this cat?
A guy who might fit that scenario is a Tyron Smith, who's 33. He was a really good player in Dallas. Washington needs a left tackle after releasing Charles Leno, but that's a big swing and might be, you know, kind of out of their price range. I would say Jonah Williams would be cheaper and more practical. He's 26 years old. He's a guy who can play left or right side, so it gives you some versatility and some flex. On the offensive line, to your point, I feel like that's a priority position that they need to address in free agency. A guy that I really like to see, Lloyd Cushenberry. He's the center in Denver. He's a leader. He's a solid player. that's the kind of guy that Washington needs. So offensive line, definitely, because you have so many needs at that, you know, around that unit. And I would say pass rusher, because really that's top of the draft, first, second round. That's the range that you have. And I think the important thing is you don't go into the draft needing to address certain areas. Mm-hmm. So for a pass rusher, offensive line, like, you can certainly get those guys in the draft, but you don't want to go into the draft feeling like you have to. And so, you know, the top edge rusher is Danielle Hunter. He's 29 years old. I don't know if he's worth paying top dollar at this stage in his career. Bryce Huff, the Jets pass rusher, he's been a part-time player. He's been mentioned as a possibility to Washington, but he doesn't play the run well.
Mm-hmm.
He's a rotational guy, so I wouldn't throw a lot of money at him. The pass rushers to watch, I would say Dorrance Armstrong and Dante Fowler. They both played for Quinn in Dallas. And those guys would be good in a rotational role. And if you're paying them as such, you don't pay them top of the market, but those are guys that might be a good fit here.
I'm telling you, well, the Broncos just released Simmons today.
The Manassas, Virginia native.
Yeah.
And I would love to see him here.
I mean, he's going to get a lot of interest. He's only 30, I think.
31.
31.
So, you know, for a safety, again, the price has to be right. If somebody who is close to a championship throws a bunch of money at him,
different,
then just, you know, let that play out. But
I bet you
they'll
be in on him.
How much would he like to stay at home?
I bet you they'll be in on him, though.
Oh, of course. Dave Preston, names that you would like to see him.
Well, you know, offensive lineman Connor Williams, center for the Miami Dolphins. John Simpson, tackle for the Baltimore Ravens. Mm. You know, just, you know, plucking some purple and black guys. ignite that rivalry that really isn't. Those are two guys that you'd like to see come in here. Linebacker.
Where they see him in the preseason.
Patrick Queen. Huge. From the Ravens. Bring him in. He's 25 years old. I
like
Patrick.
He's 25, you said?
Yes.
Yeah.
I would prefer to bring in guys. I know that, you know, there are talented players over 30, and in 2024, a guy doesn't immediately, you know, regress completely once he passes that age. But when you're building a team at this point in time in Washington, I would rather have them bring in younger guys, err on the side of this guy doesn't have as many snaps on his odometer. Bring him in, and again, maybe you get a second contract for him and from him, and maybe he's worth it, as opposed to a guy, if you sign somebody who's over 30 right now, odds are, unless he's Methuselah or Tom Brady, you're not getting a second contract out.
Oh, this is who.
And that's the
Did
thing.
Did you mention Maddox, Eagles? Avante Maddox, they're cutting him. Did you mention him? I couldn't think of the name right now.
I didn't mention him, okay. But I mean, that would be a good one. They need to adequately address the linebacker position.
Right.
I'm glad Dave brought up Patrick Queen, because that's a guy who I have on my list. But a guy who might cost a little less and is more versatile is Frankie Luvo, who played for the Panthers more recently. He's a guy that could be a difference maker if put in the right system.
We're still bringing in Carolina guys. I thought that was a last year thing.
He didn't play for Rivera.
I thought we shifted to Carolina, to Dallas guys.
Yeah,
now.
I know.
Yeah, really, but not a lot of Dallas guys. But you know, a couple here and there, just to help set the culture. Right. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
The key is getting some quality from this quantity of free agents, and there's a quantity of draft picks that they should be getting starters from. I think it's six of the first 105 selections they own, so that's important to hit on those as well.
And I think a lot of these names that we've talked about aren't going to demand the huge money, I don't think.
Right.
So guys that you can plug in, quality guys that aren't going to kill you, and then you're able to do the draft as well. I think it's going to be a very methodical approach, I think, the way they handle it, the way they approach this free agency. And I'm here for it.
I would say you probably shouldn't expect a lot of, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yeah.
I don't think you hear Washington a lot. Maybe there's one signing, but I think the majority of their work will come in week two or three of the new league year.
Unless there's a guy like a Simmons who was released today, guys like that they want to get in on to see if there's a fit and if it could work early, that you'll have to get in on early.
Right.
But you're right. Other than that, just kind of see where the pieces fall.
What's weird is I've heard a lot of talk about
Albert Hainsworth.
Kirk Cousins coming back.
A rumor isn't a rumor that doesn't die.
Just and I'm just like,
just stop.
First of all, he's going to the Falcons.
Yeah.
That just makes too much sense.
Yeah.
You know, so I.
You like
I,
that?
I get the tie. I mean, it's a good fit. And look, if for somebody who.
How's it a good fit? Explain to me how it's a good fit.
No, I mean, it's a good fit for him to go to the Falcons.
Oh, okay.
He wants their money and they will give it to him. Yeah. That's been the fit for Kirk Cousins all this time.
That's right.
He wants guaranteed coins.
I didn't mean to raise my voice.
Yeah.
I thought you meant here.
No. I don't think. I'm curious as to why. It must be his agent like drumming up interest in him. But I think the best bet for them, they need a veteran quarterback. Because is this a Falcons podcast now?
You're talking about him going to Atlanta.
Yeah. I think that's a fit. I was just saying that as an aside. I think Washington needs a veteran quarterback. Yes. I would love to see Jacoby Brissett back.
You're talking about him going to New England.
Yeah. I mean, speaking of guys going back where it started.
Right. Trubisky. You see that today? Where didn't I see?
Back to Buffalo.
Buffalo.
I mean, that also makes sense because they just need a low-cost backup.
Tyrod Taylor, bring him in.
That's who I was going to
say. So we can mistreat him here like he's been mistreated at every other spot.
I mean,
he's the Giants, right?
Here's the thing: he's a cheaper alternative to Jacoby Brissett, who has similar upside as an experienced backup who could be a good mentor to a young quarterback. Presumably, they're going to go quarterback at two if they stay at two. And I know there's a lot of time between now and draft day, but assuming that that's the move, you're going to need a veteran quarterback to, you know, sort of help that along. And so I think Tyrod Taylor would be a great fit because, again, he's going to be cheaper than Jacoby Brissett, who still has some interest from a starting standpoint. I bet you he could go to Cleveland and start right now.
Flacco's going back to Cleveland.
He'd like to.
He wants to, yeah. That doesn't mean he's going to.
Yeah.
Tyrod Taylor is 34 years old.
What are you
going to
do with Sam Howell?
I would trade him.
Yeah,
if the trade market is as robust as people are saying, because I've read that he could fetch as much as a third round pick.
Yeah,
so if you can get
jump
a,
on that, you I jump
would,
on a third
I would pounce
round.
On that. 100%. I would pounce on that. And
so
even
you're
if
going
it's another compensatory.
So your
pick.
Ideal situation is draft at two, and then you have go veteran for better veteran. If that two is not ready, but he should.
And then what does Washington always do when they draft a quarterback high? They always draft another quarterback in the later rounds. So
round.
I would have my rookie at two. I would have the veteran backup, either Brissett or Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would go with somebody in the later rounds who could be your developmental third guy who could.
Your Kirk Cousins.
Yeah. Who could break glass in case of emergency things go sideways.
Right.
But more. Hopefully,
so is
the backup long term.
Is Howell, if you draft and if you don't draft Drake May, does Howell stay or does it matter?
I think the mentor thing is overblown.
Yeah.
Because Sam Howell just needed a mentor.
He just
last
needed
year.
One. Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. Is if he stays, is he competing with the number two for the job?
Because
he's only had 1 year like this. He's still new at this. So it's a weird situation.
You're
moving
be
on
the developmental third guy.
Right. But for me, if you draft one at two, then you have to move on from Howell. Like he's not your guy.
Yeah.
So you band-aid right off. That's
you get him out of
it's kind of like the Heinicke situation from last year. I think you have to get him out of here because
you're
going to
look over his shoulder
sideways. Then you don't want the fans chanting for Howell.
Right.
Because there is a section of the fan base that is very...
He threw for 300 yards against the Cowboys, which
exactly.
he did.
Exactly.
You know?
I would think you need to trade him.
Especially if you can get a third.
I don't think he stays here as a backup. If you want to roll with him again, then he's your starter, then you bring in a veteran. That's different. But if you draft a guy, I think you have to get rid of Sam Howell.
I agree with that.
He's still too young a quarterback
just for
that
quarterback
in that room. Yeah. In the room.
Where's Ben Raby?
Shout out Ben Raby. Shout out Ben Raby. But yeah, that is my thought.
Okay. I mean, I don't disagree with that.
Yeah.
I think that's prudent, especially
because this was his job last year. And if you bring somebody else in, now Sam Howell seems like a guy that would take it totally in stride and be a backup and be fine. Like he's that kind of, he has that demeanor. I think. But yes, I don't think he's a mentor. He's not at that spot yet. He still has a lot of learning to do himself.
And he's too good to be a third developmental guy.
A guy inactive
on game
days. So
I think you need whatever draft pick you get out of him more than you need him.
Agreed.
Actually, I would do this. I mean, you have a lot of picks in this year's draft. I would even make sure that it's a pick that dips into next year's draft.
Yeah. You can do that.
There may be a need for more picks in that particular draft.
Did you hear Mike Giacchitis, our friend out in the newsroom,
floated
the trade for, would you trade for Justin Fields and then take Harrison at two? Scenario to me the other day.
I'm kind of
desirable.
Not sold on Fields. I just don't. I think that he's He's shown us what he can do. He's shown us his ceiling, and he's that much closer to his second contract.
But
I'd rather start anew.
Are we seeing that though because of the situation in Chicago and the coaching situation?
Right. Yeah. Well, just like you can't completely blame Patrick Ramsey for not succeeding here, but at the end of his contract, it's like, okay, the cake is baked.
Right.
And I think the cake of Justin Fields is far enough along that you're not with this franchise rebuilding and revamping and all the picks that they have and a new era. I think this is more of a Band-Aid than a bandage.
I would say it depends on the situation he's landing in, because if you look at what's happened in Chicago, they haven't put him in a position to succeed.
That's what I'm saying. If you get him with a coach that's...
If he was with, and I'm not saying that this would happen, but somebody like Andy Reid, who has a long track record of turning quarterbacks into just straight gold, I would love to see him with the 49ers. That would be scary as hell.
He'd be good
like
there,
Kyle.
But those circumstances are not what we've got here.
Exactly. So you're picking from the Steelers, who, and again, with the Steelers, I mean, they're a team that historically doesn't make big splashes at quarterback. They'll just wait around until
they're gonna
they can
meet
get
with
a
Russell
guy in the
Wilson.
Draft. And they're meeting with Russell Wilson, which is a short-term solution.
Right.
And if I know Mike Tomlin, he's not going to just hand him the job. He would have to compete with the incumbents. But
they do that at other spots?
Yeah, really.
Okay.
Imagine that.
Never mind.
But Justin Fields, look, in a vacuum, putting him in an offense run by Arthur Smith, which is the new offensive coordinator in Pittsburgh now, I mean, that would be a fascinating fit there, and they do have some weapons. So I think putting him in a position where he has weapons, where he has a guy who's an established offensive coordinator, if not an offensive-minded, organization and head coach, then I would love to see him in that situation. I would love to see him in Washington, but again, I don't know that the structure in place would help him, because they don't have an offensive line. Same problem you had in Chicago. So yeah, I mean, in a vacuum, yes, but with the circumstances being what they are, I don't know that Washington could make that play.
Bingo.
Okay.
So it's a no-go.
What else you got?
Who of the guys on the roster now would you keep? Because for me, I want Kendall Fuller back.
He's not going to demand a lot of money.
And Cam Curl at the right price. And James Smith Williams is a guy that I could see coming back on a small deal. Joey Sly back with, again, he's got a little to prove. So maybe a one-year deal, two-year deal, something like that.
I think Gibson's gone, Antonio.
I would agree. Even though his skill set perhaps fits what this new offense is going to do.
Possibly.
So I wouldn't rule him out, but I think it's not going to happen.
Right. Defensive-wise, I mean, and I do like – I have no problem with the cuts they made last week. Leno, Thomas, Gates.
Yeah.
I mean, that was easy. I mean, Gates was a – that wasn't a cap thing.
That was just
a performance-based.
You don't got to go home, but you got to get up out here.
You can't stay any longer.
Yeah,
right. So Sam Cosmi's like the only
– Yeah. I mean, that's the only sure thing. And then, again, that's why I feel like in free agency you need to bring a couple guys. I mean, I've heard a lot of talk that Cornelius Lucas could be back as a swing tackle. And, for the right price, I'm not opposed to that.
And I don't mind the Ertz thing. It's $5 million maybe at most.
Yeah.
The Zach Ertz thing. When he's healthy, he's fine. He just can't stay healthy, which is fine. But that's a very low risk.
Yeah. And I would be willing to bet.
And he's with Kingsbury. He's good in the room.
Yeah.
gives you a good target at tight end.
That's not the last. That's not the last tight end that they get. I mean, that doesn't preclude them from.
I mean,
because now you need two tight ends now.
Yeah.
You look at what Baltimore's doing. They have tight end after tight end. I mean, it's wild. Are there any guys on the roster you would keep, Dave?
Just there's nobody that I would say, oh my goodness, I can't believe we lost X or Y. Naturally, you'd like to keep Kendall Fuller in the building just because he's a decent leader. Cameron Curl has has a really good skill set that you'd hate to lose, but you don't. There's no one worth mortgaging, your future or even your present over.
Right.
Trying to say, oh, please stay. We will do everything that's absolutely possible. And the guys who leave to go elsewhere, good luck and apologies that the organization was not in tip-top shape while they were here.
It'd be interesting to see how Forbes bounces back too with Quinn.
I think he could be a bounce-back player.
Like to see that.
Yeah. All right, so quick pivot to Selection Sunday and the tournaments that precede it. Dave Preston, our resident AP Top 25 voter, is going to be busy this weekend because of all the conference tournaments going on. What do we need to know going into these tournaments, Dave?
Well, let's look at the locals. Maryland playing in the dreaded first round for the first time since joining the Big Ten. That season, barring an absolute miracle, is done. After next Wednesday or Thursday, Georgetown, they can beat DePaul, and that's about it. Defensively, they're a mess. It's going to be look for a completely revamped roster at Georgetown next year. After Tuesday's game, the loss to Providence, Coach Ed Cooley said, "We don't have the type of player who can defend the rim against player X yet." Yet. Note that I said yet. So I think there's going to be you're going to see a completely different roster there. Good for them that they moved on. It's tough to the Georgetown crater is much deeper than we thought a year ago at this time. Atlantic 10, we've got George Mason, very streaky team. George Washington, a team without defense. I could see Mason making a run in the Atlantic 10 tournament, but I don't see them in year one under Coach Tony Skin getting to the big dance. I think maybe they're a year away from making things happen. VCU and Richmond are two teams that could easily, I think, win the automatic berth as the conference champ. VCU has stumbled as of late. Richmond, though, remains red hot. They come to Fairfax this Saturday for the regular season finale. We've moved to different conferences. James Madison, 28-3 on the season. Believe it or not, they're on the bubble this weekend, Rob. If they don't win their conference, there's a chance that they might not make it as even a 30-4 team. They need to make it to the finals, and then if they lose, it has to be against Appalachian State, whom they've lost to twice, who's 26-5 entering the tournament, who is the regular season champ. Otherwise, I think JMU's headed to the NIT. ACC comes to Washington next week. Virginia is an absolute nightmare when they lose. I think they've lost every game by every one of their losses is by double digits, Rob. An average score of 20 points. When they're close, when they lose, they're not close. They leave no doubt that they're not good. Virginia Tech has a very low ceiling. They don't lose by as much, but I don't see them making a run through. That leaves our one-bid buddies. Howard in the MEAC, I think that is the team that perhaps has, and when you look at all of these locals, that might be the team with the best shot of making the NCAA tournament because the MEAC is a winnable league. They entered this week tied for second. They had a chance to finished tied for first if they beat Norfolk State in the regular season finale. They won the conference last year, even though they lost some really good pieces. Elijah Hawkins leads the Big Ten in assists, and Steve Settle, I think, is helping Temple to a 13th place finish in the AAC, so good for him. But even without those pieces, Coach Kenneth Blakeney has them on the right track. I think they could win the MEAC. American, year one under Dwayne Simpkins, I don't see them winning more than one game because they're in the same bracket as Colgate, and the Patriot League has been their little playpen the last few years. So a lot of thrills, chills, and spills. Maryland women need a big weekend. They need to win at least one game in the Big Ten tournament. They take on Illinois in it used to be the first round, now it's the second round.
Yeah.
If they somehow lose to the Illini, I think they could miss the tournament, which would be a crying shame. But they've had a ton of injuries to deal with, ton of transfers, so hopefully they'll find their way back next year.
Right, that Maryland-Illinois game in progress as we're recording this, actually. So that could go either way at this point. Great stuff, Dave, and certainly check out his Beltway Basketball beat on WTOP.com. It's a regular weekly occurrence. And
just a reminder, next week we'll be doing the WTOP Bracket Racket.
Yes.
Every day, Monday through Friday, we'll let you know which bids have been handed out, which bids will be up for grabs, any locals, and we throw our net wide. We even include Towson and Delaware in the mix, too, all the way down to Richmond and VCU. If you have a local school that you're a fan of, and again, the net is wide, we'll be talking about their game that day, each day.
All right. There you have it. Dave Preston, our resident AP Top 25 voter, and we're going to sign off the DC Sports Huddle. I'm Rob Whitfork. George Wallace off doing a sports cast. So, I mean, Dave and I are the only ones who break the huddle, so let's just do it.
How about that? 100%.
There you go.
Took us long enough. No thanks to Georgie.